Thank you for that. It will not be long this morning, although we would just be starting our service. So don't get on me too much. We're going to talk a little bit this morning before we receive our offering, of course, about giving. It is our building offering Sunday, and we are very, very close to getting in. I'm glad that outside's getting done, and I know the dirt's taken half of our parking spots, and we're working on that, and we're going to get that finished. When that's done, the whole outside is done, and then we get on the inside, and so we're looking at that. Honestly, we need to get in. Brother Ron's testimony on Thursday night, was it Thursday night? It was more like a message, Brother Ron, and he asked me 5 times, Brother Myers, can I just say one more thing? He told me, and then the last time he asked me, and I said, that's the last one. But I hope you caught it in his testimony. He's been teaching Sunday school for 16 years, and he's never had a class indoors, okay? Why? You don't have room? Well, even if we did, we just don't want him around. We don't have classroom space, all right? And so we need to get into that. We are not talking about stewardship. But really, we're talking about more of a free will offering like we'll take today. That's, when we do even give a free will offering like that, that is also an act of stewardship. Because stewardship is about how we handle all the resources that God has given to us. One of the reasons God gives us, well, there's many reasons God gives us our resources. Of course, is to take care of our needs and all of that, and to a certain extent, you can have things that you actually want or desire, but he also gives it to us so we can steward it, and we can use it for his work and for his purpose. And so we must always think about that. But when we think about giving, particularly this type of offering, which is not our tithes, it's not our missions. It's not if you give to the bus ministry. I think I'm missing one. Or the building fund. This is more of a free will offering, or more of a investment offering. We're investing in something important. Most people invest for their futures. Really, think about their retirement. And there's nothing wrong with that. They want to be taken care of when they get to the end of their working days. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future and to make sure that you're taken care of in the future. But when we invest in a spiritual way, we are setting ourselves up for eternal benefits, which far outweigh our earthly benefits. Think of it this way. When we are involved in investing on a spiritual level, we are not the only ones whom our investment benefits. When we're putting away or we're investing and getting ready for our futures, that time when maybe we're retired and we won't have a regular income and we're investing to take care of ourselves someday. And that's fine. That's the benefit. But when we're investing in spiritual things, we're not the only ones that are receiving the blessings from that. Other people are receiving the benefits of that investment. And that's the way we want to look at it. The ones who are helped through this ministry by your investments today or over the years are also helped and blessed as you will be. You cannot read the Bible and not see the principle of stewardship, generosity, and giving. I love when I see people like, I'm saved and I'm under grace. I don't have to give. You're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Well, I'm a grace giver. We don't have time to explore that, but I believe in grace giving because grace gives more than what's required. I've been a grace giver for a long time. I tithe very early on, but I give, and I'm not a big shot because a lot of people, I give more than the tithe because when I started giving, I saw what it does and I received the blessing and I'm like, if I can give more, I want to give more. And so, that's a very important concept. Giving is a natural expression of love towards one another. Yet in America, our churches are filled with many who claim to love Jesus, and their giving is very weak. It seems that the more money a person has, the less willing they are to give. One survey said that only 1% of Christians who make over $75,000 a year even tithe. The Christian's average giving in this country, now get this, is 2.5%. You say, but times are tough. Well, the same study, they had taken one during the Depression. They found out during the Depression, the average Christian's giving was 3.5%. Giving is not a picture of where we are at in our life financially. It's a picture of what's important to us and where is our heart at. As we prepare for this building offering, I want us to see some key concepts that will help us to be givers, investment-type givers, spiritually investing. We're going to survey several Bible verses and see what the Bible says, and then at the end, we'll make it a little bit more practical. But when it comes to giving, I want you to understand four different things. First of all, I want you to understand commitment. In other words, we must be willing. You don't need to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 22, verse 20, 37 to 40, Jesus answers the question, what is the greatest command in the Bible? And Jesus said, the greatest command in the Bible is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And he says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The first element of giving is very basic. It's commitment. Jesus said, you're to love me, and the key word he gives there is all. Jesus says, I want all of you. I want all of you. And if we're givers, what we are saying in essence is, I am committed to what God wants to do. I am committed to what is going on, and I am willing to put my money where my mouth is. Most people consider commitment a cuss word, right? It's like one of the kids one time came over, and I'm not trying to be crass. He says, you know, little ones in the school said, so-and-so just said the F word. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that little kid didn't say that. Like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, he said fart. Okay. That's not the bad one. But you use commitment to people, and they look at you like, whoa, bro, step back a bit. We don't want to be committed. But God says you ought to be committed. Amen. Giving starts with a commitment to a love for God. Yeah. God, Jesus didn't just tell us what to do, love God. He told us the degree to which we should do it with all that we have. Yes, when we give, whether it's our tithe, which is obedience, or any other type of giving, what we are saying is, and I hope you're doing it for that reason, because it's just another expression that the fact that I love God. Because when you love, you'll do things that would not maybe seem natural to do. But more than just loving God, it's also a love for others. Giving in a spiritual sense, yes, it's the thing to do. Yes, it's right to do. But it's also the fact that I want to give to something that is helping other people. Like Ariel sang about, one of the greatest joys in all the world is when someone who did not know Jesus Christ meets him. And they don't just meet him to get out of hell. They meet him, and now he changes everything in their life. Thank God. Now, some of the kids struggle with that sometimes because they're born and they're raised in the nursery and it's like, I've never done anything wrong. Well, he saved you from ever doing any of those things. But some of us that did not have that, aren't you glad that Jesus changed your life? And not only did he change your life, he made your life brand new. Amen. The struggles you had in your life, you overcame those struggles. The problems you had, you were able to get through those problems. Maybe it was a sin that was weighing you down, and you were able to get victory over that sin. Aren't you glad for the love and the changing of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Amen, sir. Amen. Well, when we're giving particularly to a ministry or church, what you're saying is, I want to see that, and I not only want to see that, I want to be a part of it. And by the way, that doesn't just happen here. Because of all the things this church does and the people from this church that have been reached and they sent out, you have a part in that also in the places where they're making a difference. You may have never stepped your foot on Cambodian soil, but can I just tell you something? Because you're invested in this church, you're a part of that ministry over there and those many people whose lives have been changed. Amen. A love for others. Secondly, there needs to be a consistency. In other words, we must be specific in our giving. In Malachi chapter 3, we know the verses where he talks about the tithe. But it also just talks in a general sense about our giving. And it's setting forth some principles. I think giving should be consistent. That's why we're not afraid to ask for commitment for some things. He talks about giving proportionately. God asks us to give the tithe, a specific amount. When we give to that which is going on, sometimes we ask for commitment. When we take up our faith promise, we ask you to commit for that year to give a certain amount that God has laid on your heart over and above your tithe. Why? So we can invest that in missionaries all around this world. We want to be involved in that. We give proportionally. What does that mean for us? That's the phrase we always use. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. All of us being, sometimes some people will have these offerings, particularly as we give to this morning, and some people are like, you know, and you hear the testimony, certain families, God has enabled them to give more money, and you're thinking, I could never give anywhere near that amount of money. No, but the fact of the matter is, you might end up giving more because you give proportionately. It's everybody doing their part. This is our church. We're not part of a denomination, okay? I don't want to be a part of a denomination. It's a lot of negatives with that. The only positive is if they would help pay the building, but they're not, okay? We're not part of it. In other words, this is our building. And all of us need to be involved in some way. God takes every gift, and God uses us. God wants us all to be involved. You say, well, you know, I feel like, I'm only giving this much, and it's not making a difference. Listen, if you're giving with a right heart, and that's all you can do, it makes a difference. God blesses that. All of us giving. God mentions in these verses giving plentifully. It's not just tithes, it's also tithes and offerings. God wants us to give. God wants us to learn. As we grow in our faith. We grow in our Christianity. We grow in our knowledge of the Bible. We grow in prayer. We grow in our ability to witness and share our faith. But you know, I think we also grow in our giving. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're constantly going to be up in everything you give to eventually you're giving 100%, because the math on that doesn't work very well when it comes to paying your bills. But I'm just saying, as God blesses us, we want to be involved more. Because we do see it as an investment. Okay? Sometimes we'll do these special offerings for other ministries, the other missions ministries. We'll do it every year when we do our mission. It's like, man, they have a special project going on. I want to be a part of that. I just want to be a part of it. We grow. Thirdly, I want us to see a commandment. What is the commandment? Really, we need to understand that we are stewards. We're stewards. We know this. We take care of the resources that God gives to us. Now, in the verses Brother Joseph read, in that passage of verses and in others, giving is mentioned as sowing seed. I like that. When you sow seed, you see fruit. You're giving something that God can use to accomplish something even greater than we could have ever imagined. He tells us if we're giving sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. If we give bountifully, we will reap bountifully. The blessings we received are dependent on how willing we are to sow seed. You know, you can't just look, I'm going to go out there, you know, I got a farm. I'm going to plant one seed and it's all going to work. No, it's not going to work. If you want a bountiful harvest, you better sow a lot. Yeah. That's what he's talking about. How can we sow? Because we understand that God is the one, as it mentions the past, he even gives us the seed to sow. And so we are a steward. God isn't giving us everything we have just so we can simply hold on to it. God gives it and says, now, there are areas I want you to be involved in using what I've given you to sow some spiritual seed so we can see some spiritual fruit. That takes someone who understands stewardship, that everything I have is a gift that God has given. Yes, you've worked hard for it, and you're to be commended, by the way. But God does give us the strength to be able to work. God allows you and uses your skills maybe to put you in a place. If we're going to be stewards and we're going to follow his commandment and being generous and giving, we have to accept ownership. God owns everything that I have. That's why we've asked you to pray over the last month to what God, how would you allow me to be involved? What would you want me to do? God, would you provide for me? What all can I get? Except ownership, it all comes from Him. We understand that He gives us our abundant supplies. Tells us now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God just blesses us. We think of misers, right? Someone that wouldn't give a penny to anybody. You know, that's the root of the word misery. Miser. You can't even say that with a smile, you know? You say, what's a miser? I'll make it easy for you. How many ever seen Ebenezer Scrooge? I mean, Jerry knew him personally, but I'm talking about you've seen the story, okay? Right, Jerry? He used to live in one of his apartments. But anyhow, you know, he was not a nice guy. Well, that's kind of what a miser's like, because life is about them, and it's all about what can I accumulate, what's for me, and we shut other people out. But God doesn't want us to be like that. And lastly, something we ought to look at and think about and dwell upon, there's a cause. We must be motivated. Now look, part of giving is just we're following a command and we're doing what God tells us to do. But isn't it nice as we're doing what God tells us to do, we understand the reason for which He wants us to do it? There's a purpose in it. There's something God wants us to get. Two aspects of that. First of all, the worship of God. We quote the verse, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Sometimes we think that money follows our heart, right? And to a certain extent, that could be true. But to a greater extent, our heart follows our money. What we give to, we are more invested in. If our treasures and our money is strictly for ourselves, then our heart will be tied up in ourselves and in selfishness. That's right. If all our money is just about me, well, what's your heart going to fall? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart. Your heart's all about you. Because everything is just about you and yours. But if it's love for God, then we will love God even more. We will be more interested in Him personally. Think of this. When you started courting your wife, or your husband, okay? You were interested in them, you liked them, but I'll tell you what happened. The more you invested in that relationship, the more the love grew, okay? Because you were just more invested. But that's why relationships aren't about what you get out of the relationship. Relationships are more about what you give in the relationship. That's what makes a good relationship. Because the more you give, the more your heart's going to follow that. Same is true of God. You know, I love God, but they don't help a single person. They wouldn't give a penny for anything. Listen, I doubt very seriously if they love God. Yep. And if they do, it's just a surface love because they're not giving their time to Him. They are not using their talents for Him, and they're not using their treasure for Him, so their heart is not going to follow that. You know who's more interested in missions in our church? Those who give to missions. You know, some of the others, and I don't think this is true, but you might sit here on Thursday nights, and I like that we do the thing where the missionaries send us videos, and they'll send us personal updates to our church. We'll ask them for it. No, except for Brother Kumali, he just kind of walked around in circles, right? Okay, someone needs to, you know, get him on that. He's interrupting Sunday school classes. Hey, Brother Esposito's teaching a class. That's probably a bad time to interrupt right there, all right? But some of us sit here, and you're like, oh, maybe I don't want to see that video. I'll tell you why. You may not be invested in missions. I emailed one of the missionaries. I've read his letters, but I saw his video of what was going on, and I emailed him. I said, man, I was excited about that. I'm like, good things are happening. You're doing a great job there. I hadn't seen what was going on, but, man, that's tremendous. You're doing a great job. You know why? We give to missions. I want to know what's going on. I want to see it. Like the person that buys stocks. Listen, you don't buy stocks and like, you know, I'll check them next month. No. Those numbers going up and down are important to you, right? Because you're invested in that. Same thing is true of God. If we love God, One of the reasons our love will deepen is because we are giving to him. But more than that, our giving is important when it comes to the work of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's our purpose, people. That is your purpose as an individual Christian. We are to be a witness of what Jesus Christ has done in my life and what he can do in someone else's life. 10-second commercial break. That's why you need to be here for Summer Saturation. I know we're supposed to witness to people everywhere we go, but I guarantee we will not witness to people everywhere we go if we cannot commit to be with the church to go to witness to people as a group. That motivates us to do it even more. But you say, I don't know how to do that. That's why you come to Summer Saturation. Well, hell, look, I went out with people and I had no clue what to do. And I just wanted to be a part of it. And I'm watching and I'm like, I can do that now. I can share my faith. I get it. But we are witnesses. Both in Jerusalem, our local area, and all Judea, going out from there, and Samaria farther out, and unto the othermost part of the world. Listen, it starts where we're at, and it goes around the whole world. That's God's purpose. We're not just trying to get another building because we want to be comfortable, although it will be nice to be a little more comfortable. These chairs are probably a little bit better than the old ones, right? Stay awake, though. Do not fall asleep. By the way, here's another 10-second commercial break. Don't bring any drinks in the auditorium. Okay? These are nice. They're gonna stay that way. Back to our regularly scheduled message. But God wants our church. Listen, if we're not involved with trying to help people, let's not build a building. Let's just shut it down. Let's not waste our time. Yeah, I mean, I understand. Church, we're learning about the Lord and we're worshiping him and we're singing about him and all those things. I get it. But if we're not fulfilling our purpose, in essence, we're spinning our wheels. The church isn't a museum for the saints. Okay? It's a motivation center to get the saints out there to reach people for Jesus Christ. I kind of like museums. Anybody like museums? Okay, we go out on vacation. There's a nice museum. I'll go in there. I like seeing old things, but those old things are kind of dead, right? Listen, we need to be alive. And just the fact of the matter is this. It takes finances to fund the Great Commission. It's not about, listen, when we look about what's going on, it's not about what we are doing for the church. It's about what am I doing? Am I doing what the church is for? So I understand, we're going to do things for the church. You know, I serve in the nursery. I'll do this, I'll do that. Great, but it's all wrapped up around that one thing, getting the gospel out, reaching people with the saving truth of Jesus Christ. And that's why we give. It's like the fireman principle. Sometimes we forget our purpose. I would bring someone up and I'm like, okay, you all work at the fire station. And I would tell them, I'd say, okay, your job is you keep the fire engine clean. And what's your job? Keep the fire engine clean. How many remember that one? And then it's like, all right, your job is to make sure the hoses are ready to go. Okay, what's your job? Hoses ready to go. Your job is to put grease on the pole so when the fire's done, you can slide down and get to the fire quick. All right? Your job, okay, I'm making sure the pole is greased. And then I'm like, all right, now, what's your job? And this guy says, my job is to clean the truck. My job is to fix the hoses. My job is to fix the pole. And I'm like, no, you're all wrong. Your job's to put out fires. Okay? That's just stuff all wrapped up within the job of putting out fires, but your main job is to put out fires. One of the main purposes of our church is to get the gospel out to this world. Well, what about helping the saints and encouraging people? That's right there. Because we want people to have a right relationship with God and be strengthened and encouraged so that God can use them to strengthen and encourage and reach others. That's what this is all about. The reason we give is because we are in on what this church and what the Bible and what the gospel is all about. Some people say, the church is just after my money. No. We are after those who don't know Jesus Christ. Yeah. It takes money to do that. That's just a fact. We need a place where we can all meet together, grow in our faith, and be organized and motivated to reach this world. And that's what our building is all about. So the question today is, will you give? Will you, in essence, obey God and invest some of your resources so that we can go out and see some spiritual fruit? We can see something happen and make an impact to whatever degree we can in our community and in this world. Let's all stand together if we could just for a minute.